The opinions expressed during this program are solely those of the host and guests. They do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, management, staff, or advertisers of WMGQ Magic 98.3.
It's been four long years for residents still struggling post-Sandy, and many are losing hope. Hi, I'm Maggie Glynn. Thanks for joining me on At Central Jersey. Fraud, frustration, and seemingly no end to the nightmare. One group has been there from the beginning. Joining me on today's show is from the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group is the Executive Director, Sue Martichek. Sue, thanks so much for being part of At Central Jersey.
Oh, you're most welcome.
All right, Sue, so 4 years later after Hurricane Superstorm Sandy, everything is back up and there's no problems anymore at the beach, correct? No.
I wish I could agree with you, Maggie, but it couldn't be further from the truth. We still have a long way to go in this recovery, and there are many people who are still struggling to get back home.
You know, so let's talk about that. Some of the real details in what is really going on 4 years later. Some of the tourism sites, you know, the boardwalks, maybe the rides, some of the restaurants in different parts of Monmouth County and Ocean County are back. But there is so much destruction still, so much rebuilding that has to be done, so much frustration. Let's start first with maybe taking a look at, since you've been dealing with this from the beginning, taking a look at the truth of what is going on? Why is it taking so long? And why is there such a high level of frustration? Because people are not being helped?
Well, I think if we're going to look at the truth, we need to really frame it in a way to say that Superstorm Sandy certainly was a natural disaster that impacted many people and had a great deal of devastation. But the truth of the matter is that it is a man-made disaster that we are not further along in our recovery, and it is due to the complex programs that get set up by our government entities. And unfortunately, when you combine that with people who perhaps have lost everything in their life, it really ends up to be a recipe for a disaster. And although that there have been some people who have been able to get back home, many of them were those that perhaps had extra resources that helped them overcome some of the obstacles. But if you are a middle class or low income person, somebody who's working paycheck to paycheck, it is a real difficult challenge to navigate these systems.
And let's talk about the difficulties of the navigation. Let's talk about first how the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group even came into being. So in the beginning, Superstorm Sandy comes through. People are devastated. Where do they turn for help in the very beginning? How do they get help? What do they do?
I will say that in the beginning of a disaster, during that first immediate phase, is really your first responders who are going out and rescuing people. Then you have your shelters that are open. So you really have that immediate response phase. Then shortly after that, you start going into a relief phase, which is to kind of figure out where people can stay. You're covering your basics. You're covering shelter, food, and clothing. And it is during that time, during the relief phase, when FEMA sends people into the community first to get them registered for federal assistance through their individual assistance program. And then also they have a position called a volunteer agency liaison. And to be very forthcoming with you, I was one of those FEMA volunteer agency liaisons. So I can speak with a bit of authority knowing that their role was to come into the community and educate them that it is going to be the community that is not only first there in a disaster, but they're also going to be the last ones in a disaster. And what I mean by that is that in the beginning, you have many, many volunteers coming out to help the community. And at the end, when all of the business is said and done and FEMA's gone and the state grant programs are gone, who's left there holding the pieces? It's the community.
Right.
So FEMA recognized the need to help the community understand that there is a need for a long-term plan to help people, and that the way to do that is by collaborating and combining your resources. And that's what a long-term recovery group is and does. So the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group had its first meeting with the county on November after the storm. And then from that meeting is the first time people are really hearing how long this recovery can be. And if I remember back then correctly, I believe the first numbers that I heard about Sandy recovery would be about 7 to 10 years.
Wow.
So the community comes together and starts to figure out who has what resources, what type of services does everybody provide, and how can we work together in a collaborative way to stretch our resources, to leverage our resources so that we can provide the most services to the most people in our community.
Now, so Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group came together to do this, but as I was looking into some of the details for this show, aren't you one of the only ones or the only one left now after Sandy?
Unfortunately, yes. At one point, I believe there were 14 different long-term recovery groups up and down our coastline. But you have to remember the way that the long-term recovery groups go is that they receive donations. And unfortunately, once time goes by, and as I'd like to say, once we no longer have the roller coaster in the water or the house is turned upside down, it seems as though the interest in Sandy recovery also wanes. So by the end of December 2015, all of the other long-term recovery groups had sunset. Although I will say the need in their communities did not sunset. It's just that the funding ran out before they could continue on.
So knowing that it would take 7 to 10 years realistically because the type of storm that it was, and knowing that people are still in desperate straits, and you're not talking, you know, 10 or 20 families, how many families? So still thousands of people are right? Is this not an issue still for thousands of people in New Jersey?
I would say so. The only numbers that we actually can track with some type of true accuracy are the people who are involved with the state grant program, because it's a finite number of people who are in the program who applied to the program, who are still in the program, who have gotten home. But let's be really realistic here. Just because somebody is in the state program, there is probably a handful of people who are not in the state program.
Right.
And that's where it gets really cloudy, because people always ask, how many people are not back home? And unfortunately, it is really a hard number to define because there are not one central system tracking everybody.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in this interview also, because I think people who are outside of what's going on with Sandy would kind of look at this and say, what do you mean you don't know? How come there's no figures? What where's the money? Where's the signups? How is there no data? Because there's data on everything. So I would definitely like to talk with you about that in a few minutes. But I want to go back to your funding and the other group's funding. How did you fund the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group? How do you continue to fund it? Are you getting money from the federal government? Like when this was put together and it was community groups, who's paying to keep this going to help people?
All of the money that the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group has received has been strictly from the philanthropic community. We've been very blessed to get money from the Robin Hood Foundation, American Red Cross, the Hurricane Sandy Relief Fund. Those were our three major donors that kicked us off with money to get this program started. And then along the way, we've had some more local philanthropic groups like the Ocean First Foundation, the United Way, and many others. But the problem is that it is, like I said, the money is getting tighter and tighter. And unfortunately, some of those big dollars that were there in the beginning, they have all been exhausted. So we sit here today knowing that we're the only show in town, that not only are we Ocean County, because all of the other long-term recovery groups went away at the end of 2015, we opened our doors not only to Ocean County, but for all of New Jersey, because it just was the right thing to do, because it's very hard to just close your services when there's nobody else out there to assist them. So we sit here today knowing that our funding is going to run out at the end of the year, But at the same time, we have a lot of applications out for funding, and we are hoping that one of our funders will be supporting us in 2017. We have an application in with the Robin Hood Foundation, and hopefully we'll hear something, because if we close our doors, we have no place else to tell these people to go. There is no other entity that is out there that can help with the entire recovery process, whether you're having trouble with your flood insurance, with the REM program, with your contractor, with mental health. We have been a conduit and working closely with our nonprofit and faith-based community to be able to assist these homeowners. And I am truly worried that if we are not around, that they will spiral, because it is really hard to navigate this system without having somebody as an advocate.
All right. Well, Sue Maracek, I'm listening to what you're doing, and we're going to get now into the details of what the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group does for people, because, again, I think some people who Sandy is far removed from their lives maybe don't understand the depth of the issues that continue and the problems that continue with so many people who are just trying to get back into their homes. But to listen to what you do, and we're going to go into it a little bit more, but to also think you have to constantly write grants and look for money. How is there not funding for this? You know what I'm saying? I mean, just either from the federal government or the state government to be there to help people, since there really isn't help anywhere else at this point.
Well, to be quite honest with you, Maggie, I hope that one of the silver linings to going through this recovery journey is that I hope that the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group could be a good poster child for the power of nonprofits, because, as I said in testimony at the State House recently in Trenton, without nonprofits in the mix, there really is a loss of power, because the nonprofits are the people who are on the street every day in your community solving problems. So to not have a seat at the table after a disaster is really a loss, because they know their communities. They know what the needs are before a disaster. They certainly have a good indication of what type of clientele is in that community. So to develop programs and systems and services without having real live feedback from people who are doing it every day is really foolish. And unfortunately, I think we are a glaring example in New Jersey of the cost of not doing that, because we have right now at 4 years a better relationship with the state than we have had the entire time. And it's a shame, because they missed a big opportunity to get a treasure chest of people with information that could have helped them launch their programs or tweak their programs. And instead, the programs got off track, and it took them so long to realize what was happening that it's hard to get back on track.
And that's what we're going to talk about, you know, where that is now and why those people are suffering and how many people are still waiting for their money, for the REM programs to come through, for funding that seems to have disappeared. And I just want to tell folks, you're listening to At Central Jersey, and I'm speaking with Sue Maracek. She's executive director of the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group. And we're really trying to discuss what is going on 4 years later, how many people are still out of their homes, how many people, as you mentioned, Sue, are really unaccounted for. We don't have the data of who is the real amount of how many people were affected and where they are now. And I want to ask you, when people come to you, what are the problems that they've encountered along the way? From what I understand, payouts, their flood, people who had flood insurance have gotten payouts from FEMA that won't even touch what they need to redo their homes. People who have gotten involved in the REM program, contractors have left them with not even half-done jobs. What kind of things are you seeing when people come to you? Some of them must be extraordinarily desperate.
Absolutely. You know, Maggie, if we're going to look at the timeline of the storm, So the storm happens October 29th, 2012. It's a very large storm that impacts a very large area in New Jersey and as well as other places on the East Coast. And then December 2012 comes along, and that's the first time that homeowners are informed of these things called flood maps. And what that does is that's a game changer, because that's the first time that people realize that it's not just about replacing their insulation and sheetrock and furniture, that now they have to do this possibly 6, 8, 10 feet in the air. So that's a game changer in December.
Right.
And then we go into those who have the flood insurance, who think that the payments that they've been paying for sometimes decades, that they're at least going to get that money from the policy. And what happens, and I can confidently say this now, there was a systematic underpayment to our homeowners on their flood insurance claims. So that sets them behind the eight ball, because now they learn that they have to build their house back and in the air with elevations.
And many of those people, some have walked away and some are still fighting.
Oh, absolutely. But because they're underpaid on their flood insurance, that means they have to rely on a state grant program to help fill in that gap. And that comes with its own set of challenges. And then if our homeowners are fortunate enough to get money from their insurance, to get through the REM program, now they have to deal with contractor fraud or disputes. And that's where we are right now. What we're seeing, the biggest uptick in those three problems are, beyond a shadow of doubt, is the contractor fraud that is going on.
Right. And how about the FEMA reopens that you've had, you know, where FEMA said after some major reports came out, I think the frontline report that was done, they looked at this. I think there was a 60 Minutes report done. They were going to reopen, change some of this. But many people are still fighting after that. Also, they're not getting there. Even on the second round, they're not getting the money.
Yes. Yeah, so for those that don't know the story, what happened was that even though there were many complaints about people being underpaid, it wasn't until a 60 Minutes show went on the air and basically exposed outright fraud, where there was a proof of not only underpaying, but that they were changing engineer reports to inaccurately reflect the damage. So some kind of example would be the boiler was, you know, ruined from floodwaters from Sandy, to the change report being the boiler was not damaged by floodwaters from Sandy. So once that happened, FEMA went to reopen all of the claims from the original claims from Sandy. So you as a homeowner, if you felt that you were underpaid, you had the opportunity to ask for your claim to be reviewed to see if there is an additional money that is owed to you. So I have to tell you that one of the things that I think has been a success to this Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group is, one, we've had a 100% collaborative experience with our partners, nonprofit partners, and our faith-based community, because
Right. No
entity can do this on your own. And the minute you think that you can, that's when you're going to shortchange your community. So we realized from the start. But the other thing that I think has helped us be really successful is that we constantly adjust our system. So when this NFIP reopened happened, we decided collectively as an organization that we were going to help homeowners navigate FEMA's review process, because we felt it would be worth it, because there's an opportunity to get additional money that we know we can't get from anyplace else because all of the funding has dried up.
Right.
So we ended up taking on about 300 and plus claims, and we're about halfway through, and I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that from the evidence that we have from our files, that it is not just one bad apple or adjuster out there giving people a bad report. It is a system that is broken within the NFIP process. So we're about halfway done with our cases, and we're probably close to helping homeowners get an additional $3 million.
Wow. That's going to bring people home.
For some people, that's exactly what they needed in order to keep their project going, because before they got that money, they may have just been sitting there completely stalled out.
But Sue, you know, you are working with this every day, your group, the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group. You see this, which must, in the beginning, must have been shocking. And then you have this information, and what happens with it? If you see this is going on, so what is happening government-wise to change it and to help these people?
Well, you know, especially in this political climate season that we are in, I have to tell you, that's one thing good about disasters is that Mother Nature doesn't care if you're a D or an R.
Right.
She just comes in.
Or an I.
It does not matter.
Yes.
So for us to reach out to some of the politicians, we've had some of our federal legislators like Congressman MacArthur and Senator Menendez and Booker. They have been three of the most helpful politicians to help us shake the trees a little bit. And first, they appreciate getting the feedback to know what's going on and the data that we have to show that it's not just one case, it's a system that has gone wrong.
Right.
But we have been down and testified in front of the Sandy Task Force down in D.C. I have been in numerous meetings with many different legislative offices, and I recently have just come back from Baton Rouge to lend our lessons learned to them so that as they are setting up their recovery system from very significant flooding in August. So we are trying our best to use what has happened here in New Jersey to make the system better. But unfortunately for our homeowners, we are struggling each and every day to find the resources to get them back home.
And do they think, I'm sure so many of the people who are, they have to be desperate after 4 years and have done the paperwork and done the paperwork and come to you, and the level of discouragement must be overwhelming at times for everybody, including the people, you know, in your group working on this.
Well, a couple things. One of the points that I made down in Baton Rouge was that, you know, although we had a large group of senior citizens in Ocean County, I mean, the numbers that I heard early on were that there were over 12,000 households of senior citizens that were affected by Sandy.
And how do they cope? How do you cope? I mean, it's difficult enough, but being a senior and dealing with this paperwork and over, how are they coping?
Well, for ones who can connect to organizations like us or some of the other nonprofits that were out there helping with disaster case management, being able to connect them to resources or explain paperwork to them, for those people, it was challenging, but at least they had somebody to lean on and walk the walk with them. It's really very sad at this point when we get a new client of somebody who's been on their own for so long, and now their recovery is really so complicated. And for some of them, I have to tell you, there are homeowners who we are helping by telling, you know, by assisting them how to move on when they realize they are not going back home to their property. And those are very, very challenging, but we feel, as a nonprofit, it is our responsibility to help everybody in their recovery, even if that recovery means that, unfortunately, they're not going back to their home.
So what happens, Sue, if you're gone? I mean, if you're it at this point and you are handling all of these issues for so many people who are discouraged, who are out of their homes, seniors, middle-aged people, families with young children, there must be a form of desperation at this point about what do we do because we thought we did everything right and we're still not home.
Well, I like to say that our homeowners went to bed expecting a bad storm and have woke up in a nightmare they can't get out of for 4 years. And for the seniors, you know, those that are, and here is something that unfortunately I don't think many people are realizing, is that we have not even begun to feel the full economic effects of Sandy. In other words, here's a great example. In the town of Toms River, one of the heaviest, if not the heaviest impacted area in Jersey, they are behind $880 million in ratables right now. Now, we
That's
have
an astounding
been,
figure. Astounding.
We have been able to get subsidies from the federal government to assist towns that have been impacted, because obviously their tax base gets turned upside down. But that assistance is not there forever. And I believe that we are coming up on our first full year of no more subsidies. So what does that mean for the average person? It means that even if you did not have a drop of water from Sandy in your home, you are going to be feeling the impacts of Sandy in your tax bill.
For a very, very long time. And, you know, Sue, I can't believe we're at almost out of time here. And I guess my final question to you is, after being involved in this for all these years and working with so many people to try and put their lives together, for the people who still don't understand the depth of what's going on, for people impacted by Sandy, what is the one thing you would really want them to know about how things really stand 4 years later?
We're halfway there. We're not close to being over. We need to continue to provide funding. And I would go out on a limb and say, I believe my organization as a nonprofit has run an efficient and effective system. And I would put my books and my admin dollars up against any program that was run by the state. And I don't say that cavalierly to put down the state. I'm just saying all of it is our tax dollars. We have to do a better job of spending our tax dollars in disaster recoveries so that we indeed get our communities up and running as soon as possible. Because those effects, and you mentioned, Maggie, in the beginning about some of the businesses coming back to life. Well, we know for a fact that there are businesses who went out, took loans so they can get their doors open. But guess what? Now they're going out of business, because if the business is back up and running, but you have nobody to go to your business because your community's not back up, then therefore it doesn't matter what you do to get your business back up if you don't have customers.
Right. And then the cycle continues. And you, how do you get out of it then?
I think we need to have a mind shift when it comes to disaster recoveries. And it really has to be a full court press of the community realizing that it makes sense for all of us to work together to get the community up and running. And as far as the funding, there has to be a way to include funding streams from the federal government to the state that go to nonprofit and entities that are helping in this disaster. Because you asked me, what happens if we go out of business? And you know the answer I have is, I don't know. Because the county sends me people, the state sends me people, FEMA connects me with people that need assistance. So I don't know what the answer is. Right now, we are the answer to them.
And we would like to, as we end the show, you know what, Sue, maybe we can send you some people that can either contribute or put pressure on getting you some financial help to continue to help the people who are in desperate need of your services. So can you give us some contact information for people who are listening who may want to reach out and help?
Sure. So I would say, for those that can help us, or if you know of somebody that still needs help in this recovery, please have them call our office, 732-569-3484. And an email for us is info@oceancountyltrg.org.
All right, Sue Martichuk, the Executive Director of the Ocean County Long-Term Recovery Group, thank you so much for being part of At Central Jersey.
Thank you, Maggie.
Missed a show? Listen online or download episodes at magic983.com.